Again, as we left off this morning, I noticed, by the way, that we didn't even get to where we left off on Sunday evening last. So if we keep reviewing, we're going to back up to point one, page one. But I saw so many visitors here this morning that I felt compelled to go back because, let's face it, I'm right in the middle of a subject called the angelic conflict, and when some people don't even believe in angels, it is hard enough. And so I try to bring them up to date. I don't know if I did or not. None of them were back. But I've also noticed that most that were at the kindergarten graduation are not here either. Cindy, great job. Well, now some of you are going to pump my wife for information, or you're going to ask me, and you're going to get false information, so I might as well tell you what happened this afternoon. At 1 o'clock approximately, always before that really, we went to one of these little places here for eating, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I started to break out into a cold sweat, and the next thing I know, my wife is up and she's patting my head with ice water, and she says the paramedics are on their way. And so I said, for what? And she says, well, you just took a nap. And so anyway, they got there, and by the time they got there, why, they hooked me up with every conceivable thing. I mean, I had pipes and tubes and everything, and I'm sitting there trying to eat my breakfast. Well, that should give you a clue, number one, as to what happened. I took an Ensure as a supplemental, and two of the tablets that I've been taking that you've been giving me, they didn't bother me. But apparently my body does not like Ensure. And then I was talking to Haven just before the service this evening, and their doctor recommended that they do not take it. Because what it does is it drops your blood pressure dangerously low. And so you see, when they came, they checked me out, and they hooked me up, and they said, wow, you got excellent blood pressure. And I looked at it, and I said, it's never been that low. So it must have been considerably lower before they got there, because at least I was starting to turn pink again, instead of that awful jelly green that I was. For a while, I had no pain. They checked me out completely, just to put your mind at rest, and all my vitals were perfect, within range. But see, if they'd have been there about 10 minutes before, they'd have seen a clumpy mess sitting there. But I knew it was happening, and see, the last time that happened was about 4 weeks ago. I went out to the car and I came back in, and I went into the tape room, and I broke out into a cold sweat. Well, what did I do that morning? I drank an Ensure before I came to Bible class. So when I get home this evening, I'm going to drink some more. No, I'm going to throw it out. Don't need it. Don't want to go through that again. Put it in the grace galley, yeah. With a warning label saying, this may cause you to turn green. All right. Angelic conflict very quickly, not very quickly to cover it, but by way of review. We know, for example, that the angelic conflict began as a matter of choices that angels made in eternity past. There are two fundamental categories of angels. The elect ones, which we might call the saved ones, those that chose for God. Then we have the fallen ones, who actually divide into two categories, the imprisoned ones and the ones that are loose. The ones that are loose are simply called demons. You must learn to differentiate between demons and the incarcerated type. There is a place that is unfortunately translated hell in 2 Peter, and it should have been translated Tartarus, from the Greek word tartu, and it means, in effect, a super creature prison. Sometimes it's referred to as the abyss or the bottomless pit. We do know that in the tribulation period, after the rapture occurs, some of the inhabitants, the angelic beings, of the abyss or the bottomless pit will be released. We don't know how many. We're not given the number. We don't even know how many angels there are, period. The closest estimate would be about 300 billion, maybe trillion. We know that one-third of that category fell with Satan. We covered that this morning in Revelation chapter 12. So God creates a lesser being to resolve an apparent conflict. What's the conflict? Well, the history of man occurs between two events. One, the sentencing of Satan and his angels, and then the committal, the actual execution. We're in the trial stage right now. As church age believers, we play a very important part in resolving both strategically and tactically the angelic conflict. We're going to see that a little bit later on. The same issue is with the human being. He has volition. Now, he is made a little lower than the angels. As a matter of fact, we're not told how much lower, but it's quite a bit lower. They're far more intelligent than we are. They have, obviously, superhuman strength, because they're not human. They travel by light. They can transfer thought telepathically. We know that Satan has his own ministers who stand in pulpits ministering the Word of God. Not the Word of God, but what they call the Word of God. And, of course, I'm sure that a handful of them must be on television somewhere. Do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So he's got his own pastorate. And it's obvious when you see some of the tactics that some of these churches are using just to get people to come in. As long as I'm the pastor here, by the way, we will not have a dog and pony show. You want that? Go down the street. That moron down there calling himself a pastor, he says, for example, the days of a pastor getting up in front of a congregation and teaching for 1 hour from God's word are over. Silly man. And of course, we very rarely invite anyone here, but they get here because they're positive to the word. See, I quit inviting people a long time ago because my average was so poor. Every time I invite someone, they wouldn't come. So I let you do that. And you've done well. Yeah, we have half a Grand Canyon College here. The better half. So under point E, the issue of the angelic conflict is volition. Some made the right choice, some made the wrong choice. The same thing happens with man. You see, human volition and angelic volition are tested in exactly the same manner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So you have a choice right at that point. Do you believe, or do you believe not? No one twists your arm. God never elected anyone to be lost. For that matter, he never elected anyone to be saved. Election is a result of salvation, not the means by which we achieve it, because we don't achieve anything. Salvation is a work of God. And for anyone to blasphemously say that God set aside some few for some reason, I don't have a clue what they mean. And they say, oh yes, he condemned some to the lake of fire long before they were ever born. Well, that's not the God of my Bible. I got a real problem with that. I think I've told you this enough. You probably memorized it by this time. But listen to the attitude of a parent who had a child that went wayward. And so I was talking to that parent one day, and I said, should we be praying for that child? And he says, no, he's probably not a member of the elect anyway. If I didn't think that any children that I brought into this life had an opportunity to be saved, they'd never have been born. Why witness? Why have missionaries? They're going to get saved anyway. Not just sit back and watch television, get bigger bellies. So human volition was tested in the garden, failure. Angelic volition was tested in eternity past, failure. But some believed. Some said yes to God. Some chose God as opposed to Satan. What I think is remarkable is that you have one-third of the angelic host following Satan. It's always been amazing to me. We assume that could be 300 million strong or more. Point two, the conditions of prehistoric times have been reproduced in the history of mankind. Human history runs coterminous with Satan's trial, providing the same circumstances and same options which belong to angelic creatures in prehistoric times. In other words, before man existed, there's an obvious conflict. We see that in our study of Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Compare that with Revelation chapter 12. There are many, many other passages, but those seem to be the key passages. Now, I've had college professors tell me that that's just some story told about an actual historical figure. Well, it is an actual historical figure. But why does the reference refer back in time to the point where it says, "O Lucifer, son of the morning"? And he's called a cherub. Apparently at that time, that was the highest ranking angelic being. After the fall of Satan and his angelic host, we had a new created angel called a seraph, and they're higher in rank. At one time, the highest rank was a cherub, plural cherubim. Don't ever say cherubs. Seraph, seraphim. You want to Hebrewize any word and make it plural, just go im. Ben, son, sons, benin, see? Elohim is the plural form of God. And that explains in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who's talking to whom there? Well, it's all three persons of the Trinity in the great conference before the creation of man. But man is created to resolve the angelic conflict. And all you have is one man, positive, accept the truth, and it's resolved. Of course, here we are. Thank God for that. Could have been all over, you know, with Adam and Eve. See, the thing is, the trial was fair. The justice of God was on the line. He could now in no way compromise his justice and his righteousness, which are two separate parts of his holiness. God cannot be compromised, and he will not compromise. He must judge sin, for example, and he will in eternity future. But see, note the pattern. Eternity past, sentence. Eternity future, commitment to the lake of fire. And what happens in between? Man. That answers the question, why man? I remember when I first became a believer, I was taught that God created man so you get fellowship with him. What kind of nonsense is that? As if God needed us to have fellowship with him. And he could have flicked us off the planet Earth like a fly speck. God did not create man to have fellowship with him. Didn't need our fellowship. Besides, in the time in which we live, look how few believers have fellowship with God. Oh, they're active. They're making a lot of noise. They're working for God. As a pastor friend of mine used to say, there are many works for God, but very few works of God. That's right. Again, I suggest to you, what would happen to one of these mega churches if the Holy Spirit decided to leave tomorrow? As the Shekinah left during Ezekiel's day. They went on with their practices. They could care less. They didn't even know the difference. I know what would happen here. Silence. I frankly don't know whose drumbeat these people are marching to. It certainly isn't the Lord's. Our kindergartners this morning were singing something about In God's Army. Should have been here, by the way. It was great. They did a great job. Point three, mankind was created as a lower creature to duplicate conditions of prehistoric angelic conflict, thereby provide evidence, argument, and precedence for the appeal trial of Satan in the courtroom of planet Earth. You got to remember that at one point in history, that is angelic history, it appears that Earth was Satan's domain. We know that by the apparent problem that exists between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And a careful, detailed study in the original Hebrew proves that. Because Isaiah tells us that the earth was not originally created void. Well, if you compare that with Genesis 1:2, and the earth was void, well, something happened. Satan got angry. Now, I don't know if he did like has been suggested, that he tied dinosaur tails together and threw them over clotheslines. I don't know about that. Frankly, I don't even know where to put the dinosaurs. Got to put them somewhere. And stupid things are popping up all the time. Just about the time some kooky believer says he doesn't believe in them, and they uncover a whole series of bones, a graveyard of them. Now, I do have a problem with carbon-14 testing, only because you don't throw a couple of million years around, give or take. Now, let's be a little more exact, if we can. All I know is that man hasn't been here, that the longest he's been here is 10,000, more than likely 7,000. And you see, what we normally refer to as the 6 days of creation is incorrect. Again, you have to know your Hebrew Bible. There's a vast difference between the word bara and the word yatzer. You can even hear it. Bara means to create something out of non-existent materials. See, Adam was not barad. Excuse the English past tense. He was formed. He was yatzer. And then he was Asad. He gave him shape. But he used existing materials. But when God spoke and the world was, that's bara. And when he breathed into Adam, life, actually lives, is a better translation of that passage. And God breathed into Adam, lives. Spiritual life, physical life. What did Satan say to him? You're not going to die if you partake of the tree. What was he talking about? Physical death. That wasn't the threat. The threat was that he was going to die spiritually, and he did instantaneously. And you notice, by the way, ever since then, a pattern has been established. Every child that's born does the same thing. Breathe in. and it breathes in spiritual death. Oh, it's physically alive. And we're all born after the similitude of Adam after the fall, with a sin nature. And then, of course, we need regeneration. God provides that in grace. Wonderful. Point four, God created both angels and humans in status quo perfection or completion and innocence. See, the one thing that man didn't need to know was the knowledge of good and evil. Couldn't handle it. God can handle it. We can't. So there was a great deception, which is the key to understanding Satan's tactics. He's the master deceiver. And boy, is he having a field day in the average church. He doesn't have to start trouble from within. They're already falling apart. And don't you think, by the way, in the last month or so, that a lot of us have been under maximum pressure as a result of the angelic conflict. And many times I've thought to myself, this might be too much. Let's go to something else, like Psalm 23, you know. But then I'd have to deal with, oh, I go through the valley of the shadow of death. So we'd have to omit that verse. God has a sense of humor. And I noticed that every time I study something, he says, now here, learn it experientially. Oh, no. Couldn't I just learn it academically? No. And we have the test, and then we pass the test, and we move on to the next test. And just about the time we're ready to pass that one, he's got another one for us. That's why I think we should give a lot of tests at Westside. Get them all ready for life. When we talk about perfection, by the way, we're not saying that Adam was perfect. He was complete. He was complete as a man. That was pretty good, too. Yeah. And I have you two sit together and see what happens. Blow the whole front row out the back door. Now, I'm only kidding, because when I sneeze, it's worse than that. Both of you put together. It's genetic. My mother's the same way. I don't think I ever heard my dad sneeze. I wasn't around him enough. How could I hear him sneeze? We know only there's a division between the elect and the fallen angels. We know nothing about the circumstances except one bunch said yes and the other bunch said no. Then later in human history, there was an invasion of demonic beings on earth. There was an attempt to completely destroy pure human beings. Came close. And if you read 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude verse 8, you will see that the flood was the direct result of the half-man, half-angelic beings that roamed the earth. And the one thing they could not do was procreate. Eight souls left. And that little phrase in 2 Peter 2, eight souls saved who had not corrupted their way. And the analogy that's used is what? Sodom and Gomorrah. In that case, it was male with male, female with female. In this case, historically, in Genesis 6, it's angelic beings and human beings. So one time, there's no question in my mind that angelic beings had the power of procreation. It appears that later they lost it. They cannot reproduce. So angels aren't recreating angels. And therefore discount the whole idea around Valentine's Day of some little bareback angel flipping around the room, shooting people with arrows. That could be deadly, you know. And what's the connotation there? I was shot in the heart. I'm in love. If I got shot in the heart, I'd die. See, when I was being raised as a child, I never did understand. Well, first of all, I didn't understand English. But I never did understand any of the nursery rhymes because the ones we have in Greek are completely different than the ones you have in English. So after my three daughters were born, my wife, being from Iowa, knew at least 105 different of these variations of nursery rhymes. And when she would say them, I would say, that is sadistic. Analyze them. They're all sadistic. Rock-a-bye baby? Where? On a treetop? Boy, that's neat. And then what happens? The bough breaks, and down comes baby. Squish. That's sadistic. And then the business about pulling out a plum on his thumb and then expressing his arrogance? How? What a good boy am I. Well, I went along with them because I was learning them at the same time. And there's one about little piggies. In Iowa, they have it completely different. See, they run into Grandpa's barn. You can't say that in New York City. There is no Grandpa's barn. And the two trees that we have in Manhattan, those were appreciated. Mankind was created complete or perfect. He was given perfect environment. See, we can't even begin to understand what Adam lost. We can only understand what he gained, if that's gain. No corruption in the garden. Absolute perfect digestion. Think about it. Messed it all up. And in Arizona, we can appreciate the fact that if we go too long without bathing, the body, which is constantly dying, should be shedding that dead skin, and instead it stinks. They never had any odor in the garden, except the pleasant ones. They didn't even realize that they were naked, because they were covered by God's glory. Imagine. They could do anything they wanted to do. Say, well, I thought he was a tiller of the ground. Yeah, sure. What, 2.5 seconds worth of work, and then I think I'll take a break. Besides, what work would he do? Rake leaves? Trees never lost their leaves. No seasons. Never rained. Perfect air temperature. Eve never had a headache in the garden. But she developed one very quickly afterwards. So now we have this failure of Satan. He then goes out and he draws a third of the stars. He's got a lot of hosts. Don't you try to fight him. You can't. That's why we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. It's his war. It's his fight. Our Father, we're thankful and grateful for this review and the challenge of your word this evening. Dismiss us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we'll see you on Tuesday night.